Thanks, Ian. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you that when we gather here, it's to gather around your word. It's to hear you speak to us, Lord, in your word. It's to have your spirit take your word and apply it into our hearts and lives. Pray for myself as I speak that your spirit would guide and direct me. I pray for us as we listen that we would listen with hearts that are receptive to your word. And Lord, if we come here today and it's all kind of confusing or new to us, I just pray that, Lord, you would just help us to see something and of you, glimpse something of you this day. So, Father, we just pray for your help. We pray for your blessing upon us. We pray that you would take your word and mix it up with faith in our hearts so that our lives would produce fruit for your glory and for your honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Being a Christian, easy or hard? What do you think? Hard? Put it in. Hard. Yep, easy. 95% of you just sat on the fence and didn't vote. What hope have we got in the new flag referendum, eh? What hope is there? You know, being a Christian, I think we all, if we were all honest, and thank you for being honest, those of you put up your hands, is that there are times when being a Christian is definitely hard. Why? Because being a Christian requires work. And the thing is that the work part of being a Christian often takes us by surprise. We don't expect to have to work at being a Christian, especially if you've got good theology. Okay? And meaning by that, you understand that God is sovereign and that he is the author and the finisher of your faith, that he is the one who saves us by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's not of our work, so that we can't boast. And we kind of go, well, God is sovereign, God saves, I'm a Christian, and I'm having to work. Why is that? And so sometimes you know, we can get a bit discouraged when trials come, suffering comes, relationship trials or issues come into our lives, when doubts surface about what we believe or when people question us or challenge us. And, you know, we think, well, this is tricky. And many people are taken by surprise and they think, well, God would do everything. And maybe we become discouraged and we go, well, you know, I tried this Christianity, kind of like, was it Bob Dylan who said, you know, the disciples walked with the Lord for 3 years and I did the same and that was enough. And we think, well, I tried it for a bit and then after that it's just like, well, you know, God kind of wasn't keeping his part of the deal. He wasn't keeping his side of the bargain. And so we drift off into sin and wander into rebellion and we kind of want to give up. And then the question becomes, you know, well, when I was 15, I made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus and that was 15 years ago and I haven't walked with the Lord since then. Or people look at us and they say, you know, I thought they were a Christian. I thought they said they were a Christian. And yet they don't look like they're Christians. They don't sound like they're a Christian. They don't act like they're a Christian. They don't live like a Christian. And so then some of us maybe just decide, well, it's all up to me then. And we quote that great Bible verse, God helps those who help themselves. And we decide, well, if maybe a Christian means that I just have to get, you know, put my head down, knuckle down to it, you know, pull myself up by my shoelaces and just, you know, push on through, just harden up and sort of fight through, and you know that, you know, God is kind of, he's got more important things to do. Or maybe he just helped me sort of start, you know, like a parent teaching their kid to ride a bike, that they just push them off down the hill and hope they balance Or maybe we think, well, if I'm going to get through as a Christian, I've got to make myself lots of rules and things that are going to keep me on the straight and narrow. So this is how it's going to be, family. We're going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're only going to eat this kind of food. We're going to get up at this time every morning. You've got to read this many chapters of your Bible. You've got to pray for this long. You're not allowed to go to that. You're not allowed to go with your friends there. And you can't do this and that and the next thing. And we create a whole structure of legalism, and our legalism, a legalistic lifestyle, replaces our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, I think, what is addressed here in this passage here. Paul has been explaining the pursuit of unity through humility. He points them back to the Lord Jesus Christ as the source and model of a humble mindset that unifies the body of Christ. And now he encourages them, notice with these words, he says, verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed," okay, so he's encouraging them with this idea of obedience, "not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation." So he's dealing with this idea of what does it mean to live as a Christian? How do we work out our salvation? And so the first point I want us to see this morning is that we work out our salvation because God is working in you. You work out your salvation because God is working in you. He says, "Work out your salvation, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling," the end of verse 12. "For," verse 13, "it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." You see, the key to understanding the Christian faith is that it is a joint effort. It's something that we work together at. Some of you who are a bit older, maybe if you've got a gold card, you might remember the Boga comic strips that used to be in the Listener magazine. And I always remember one when I was a kid where, maybe I was a teenager, probably wouldn't have been a kid, I must have been a teenager to get it, but it was the hedgehog says to another hedgehog, you know, they made something, and they go, you know, "This was a joint effort. I smoked the joint, he made the effort." This is not that kind of joint effort, but when our salvation, that's probably a really bad illustration to use in this instance, but our salvation is a joint effort, okay? It's you and God working together for our salvation. There's no division, there's no separation. Notice just at the very first instance that actually verses 12 and 13, you know, they're not verse 12 and 13, it's one sentence, by the way. Paul, he didn't write this letter and say, verse 12, now verse 13. That was all stuck in later on, okay? It's one sentence. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." So the first thing he's just reminding you is that salvation, becoming a Christian, being saved, it is God's work. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. You all know that, right, don't you? "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast." Let's look at another one. We're actually going to look at a few verses today. Just hope I don't have to go and look at some verses in Hebrews because I've got two pages missing from this Bible. I'm looking at Titus 3 here. Titus, that comes after Timothy, which is quite handy. So Titus 3 and verses 3. "At one time you too were foolish, disobedient," this is Titus 3 verse 3, "deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." Did you get that? He saved us. He saved us. It was God who comes and broke into your life and my life. And it's God who comes in into a person's life and brings salvation. So God is the sovereign worker of salvation. God is the one who saves. But equally, it is we who also work out our salvation as well. I always remember this passage from when I was a kid. This is Matthew 11. Jesus gives this, tells this sort of illustration of the kingdom of God. And I always remember this as a kid. I used to hear it quoted a lot when I was a kid. He's talking about John the Baptist. And then he says in verse 12 of Matthew 11, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advanced, and forceful men lay hold of it." Or in other translations, it's the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence, and the violent take it by force. Saying that it's something that if people really, really want, people want salvation, and they pursue it, and they go after it. Other passages that you can look into, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us," what? "Run with endurance the race that is set before us." In fact, when you look at the biblical language around work, it's not like, guys, put in a bit of effort, eh? Or just, can you try a little bit harder? You know, can you just try a little bit harder there? Not too hard. Don't want you to break out into a sweat. I don't want you to get tired, you know. I want you to save your energy for more important things, like watching TV and stuff like that. No, it says work, labor, strive. These are the kinds of verbs, kupumahi, that the Bible uses. The kinds of descriptive words. Press on, endure, persevere. Fight, run. Those are the words that the Bible uses to describe what it means to go on as a Christian. That you have to work at it. That it's not just it's not going to be a laid back process. It's not going to be just easy. It's not going to be just a little bit of an effort, you know, and push off and glide down the hill, you know, like a what do you call them? Trolley derby, you know. It's just you get a bit of a push at the start and off you go, and it's all downhill from there, and you just have to steer around the corners and get through to the end. It's not like that, is it? It's kind of like mountain biking. You ever been mountain biking? There's two ways you can do mountain biking, right? You can do mountain biking where you get on the track and you're on your bike and there's a hill and you bike up the hill and you go up and down and up and down. Or you can get on the bus and the bus takes you up to the hill, top of the hill, and you just ride down again. Okay, I like to get on the bus and ride down the hill because it's easy, all right, if you're not fit. But real mountain biking is the one where you have to pedal up the hill, go down to low gear, you know, and up and down and up and down. Work at it because God is working in you, and he's working his will, and he's working out his deeds for his glory. As you pursue God and as you work to obey him and become more like Jesus, you need to remember that God is still working. So it is a joint effort. It's something where we are working together. God is at work at us, in us. God is working salvation in us. And so you and I, we work at pursuing God, obeying him, doing his will. You know, grace isn't something that just happens at the start and he leaves. Grace is something that goes with you. You're saved by grace, but you will be saved by grace, won't you? You breathe your last breath by grace. That's God's grace right through. God doesn't abandon you. He doesn't say, oh, well, I've got more important people, you know, to go and look after. I remember once when I was a kid, I had to go into hospital. I think I was only 4 years old. And I had a kidney problem. And so, you know, the good old days hospitals, big long room, about 40 kids on beds, rows down this side and down that side. It's just terrifying when you're 4 years old. You get stuck in a bed and you go. And my problem was I didn't want to eat any of this hospital food. So the nurse would come and she would feed me the food. And then she would say to me, look, you need to eat I can't stay here and feed you. I have to go. There's all these other children who need to be looked after. And she would go away and leave me. And I would stop eating. And so my mum would come and she'd say, what's wrong with your boy? He won't eat his food. And she goes, well, he eats at home. There's no problems there. Okay. But he's not eating. Why? Because she's just got more important things to do. She can't be with me all the time. Well, God doesn't do that. God is working out his salvation in your life and my life continually. He doesn't just say, well, here you go, here's a spoon, off you go, come back and tell me what it's like at the end, or I'll see you at the finish line. Grace goes right through, and God continues to work in you. He works out his will. He works out his mind. You know, some people would say that growing in grace, or a big part of it, is understanding the mind of God, that is thinking God's thoughts after him, being able to think. You know, you think of people in your life. Ian mentioned a man who was an influence in his life, a godly man, and you think of godly people in your life and you say, these are people who were able to think God's thoughts after them, getting the mind and the heart of God, working out the purposes of God, doing the work of God, following the plans of God, pursuing the call of God in your life and my life. Are you wondering why he says here, though, work out your salvation with what? Did you notice that? Fear and trembling. What do you think he means by that? Why does he say fear and trembling? Does he mean that, you know, you just, it's like riding that bike for the first time without the trainer wheels and you wobbling along and you go, oh, I'm going to fall off, I'm going to graze my knee, I'm going to hit the hedge, or I'm going to crash into the garden or something like that? Is that what he's talking about? Is he saying, you know, better be careful because you could just fall off your Christian life at any time? You could trip up and that will be it. You know, you could sin a big sin and, well, I'm over and done with you. Is that what he means? Fear and trembling? The Apostle Paul uses that in some other instances, and it's a good principle when you come across something like this in the Bible and you think, what does that mean? Try and find some other parts of the Bible where it's used, and he uses it in an instance in Corinthians where he says to them, you know, I came to you with fear and trembling. Meaning, he was talking about his confidence in coming to them. Remember, they were critical of him. They said he wasn't good enough and that kind of thing. And so what he was saying is, I came to you in fear and trembling and weakness, much weakness. And so I believe that what he's talking about here is that he's talking about our attitude towards our strength and our confidence rather than how we feel about God, how God treats us. You don't need to be in fear of trembling that God is going to abandon you somehow. We fear and we tremble at the mightiness of God and we reverence and respect him, but the fear and trembling as we work out our salvation is not that you might lose it somehow, not that you might go to hell somehow when you thought you were actually a Christian, but he's talking about in a weakness, in a trust in God. You know, like as you, when you put a kid on a bike for the first time, they're going, look, don't let me go, hold on to me, hold the back of my seat. Hold the back of my seat. Don't let go until I say so. And so we don't trust in our own confidence. We don't trust in our own strength. We don't trust in our own righteousness, our own ability. But we are trusting in the Lord. And we know that we are faulty. We know that we are frail. We know that we are needy. For, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. He's working out his good purposes in your life. And you and I, we just need to be honest with God about that. And say, God, I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian in fear and trembling. Because I know that left to myself, if I have to work out my salvation by myself, Lord, I'm going to make a bit of a mess of it, I believe. I know I'll screw up somewhere along. So you work in me. Thank you, Lord, that you are working out your purposes, working out your salvation in me. So the second thing, though, is We work together, but we know that you know that God and you are working together when you begin to shine. That seems to be the other part of what he's saying. He says your salvation is something that you and God work together, and you know that it's working. You know that you and God are working together when you shine. As he says in the rest of the passage here, do everything without complaining, verse 14, or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ that I did not run and labor in vain for nothing. So how do you know when you and God are working okay? How do you know when the partnership is going, when the effort is a joint effort? Well, here he explains what it looks like, that we will shine as lights, as God's children. And he explains, it's interesting how he actually describes it. He says here, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless. He sort of picks up on this whole attitude that we as Christians have toward the world and toward God. There's something that has changed in the heart of a Christian who God is working out salvation. They see things differently. I went to a meeting recently, a sort of community meeting, and I was telling someone, I was like about halfway through the meeting, I just found it so depressing. Because it was a meeting to discuss, you know, our community and what's going on and what's needed. But it was just this huge whinge session. It's like about the traffic, about the intersections, about the railway station, about the graffiti, about the young people, about the rubbish, you know, about the services and lack of services, and about the police. You know, and about gold card holders. No, just kidding. And it was just like, come on, people. You know, everything we've talked about tonight, it was just like negativity and complain. And it got even worse than that. It got like, you know, it got into that really scary realm of racial stuff. Like, oh, those people, you know, those people. Oh, I'm not, you know, those people over there, you know what they're like. I'm like, man, you guys. And I'm like, oh, yeah, so what are you here for? Well, I'm just from the church, you know, and I just want to talk about some cool stuff that's kind of happening. And he says, you know, there's something that happens in a person's heart that gives you hope and gives you life, doesn't it? Do everything without complaining or arguing or grumbling, so you become blameless and pure children of God. So people are looking at you and saying, where are the children of God? Where are the children of God amongst us? And when they look around and if they hear the grumblers and the complainers and the grumblers and the complainers, and they go, have the grumblers and the complainers got God in their life? Have they? Is God at work in their life because they're grumbling and complaining about everything? You know, when I grew up, some of my experience of Christians wasn't always that good, and we have to watch this as Christians. You know, when I would go to and listen to sermons, I'd hear sermons about bikinis and novels, okay? So don't wear bikinis, all right? Jono, don't wear a bikini. Okay, I've never worn a bikini, all right, just want to be honest with you on that one, okay, and don't read novels. And it was kind of like, so as a kid, it's like, okay, so God, yep, God doesn't like bikinis, doesn't like novels, yep, nice, stink, I like novels, I like reading Famous Five, Secret Seven, Hardy Boys, Biggles. Man, I like those books. Okay? They're kind of fun. They're kind of good, cool stories. But it's okay. Bikinis. I can handle that. I can handle that one. So, you know, that's unfortunately what we can be like as Christians, eh? We can be sort of, all we say is, I'm against this, I'm against that, that's bad, don't do that, we don't like that, you know, no. And, you know, it happens, sometimes you see people in the media, they'll say, gay marriage, ooh, go and ask a Christian, what is a Christian going to say? And nobody says, but, you know, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. You know, that nobody comes and brings the gospel into that situation. And so our grumbling and arguing, it can be heavy, it can be off-putting, it can be depressing. You know, we grumble and we can argue about over minor things. And people go, well, that's really... I remember you meet some very earnest Christians, and God bless them. But I remember being rebuked by somebody saying, I said, hey, you know, you kids... go out, you know, something now. And they were like, Jeff, no, they are not kids. Because kids are baby goats. And Jesus separates between the sheep and the goats. Okay. Yes. Okay, you lambs. Now, I get that. Isn't that wonderful that they were thinking like that? But hey, please, people, you know, let's not get too heavy. Let's not grumble and complain about everything, because what happens when people are grumbling and complain about everything? What, you avoid them, don't you? You avoid them. And if that's what you're like, what are people going to do with you? They're going to avoid you. If I'm like that, people are going to avoid me. Instead, he says we are to be blameless and innocent. So not embracing sin, not just saying, well, it doesn't matter, you know, I don't have an opinion on anything, but blameless and innocent, working out our salvation as we shine for Christ in the world as positive alternatives. You know, when he talks this idea of shining, shining like stars in the universe, that's the NIV, sort of interprets that a bit, which is good. Because otherwise, if there were no stars shining in the sky, what would there just be? Blackness, eh? That dark matter, just blackness. But stars, when you look at the sky, what your eyes are drawn to the stars because they shine, and they are, and you go, look at that beautiful star, look at that, kids, come outside, look at the moon, look how big it is tonight, isn't that awesome? Look at that, that's Jupiter, that's Mars, that's Venus, and it shines, and your eyes are attracted to it because it's positive. It's, as he says here, it's the living Word of God, as you hold out the word of life, a living and abiding Word of God, as the Apostle Peter describes it. It's a message of life, it's a message of hope, it's a message of salvation, it's a message of rescue from hell, it's a message of life from death, it's a message of joy in the hearts and lives of God's children. It's all good stuff. And so this is what working out your salvation looks like. When God is working in you, and you are working, good stuff happens and you begin to shine. You shine in the world, and people see that as they look at you. So just wrapping that all up, you know, salvation is work. Salvation is work. It involves the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It involves obedience to him. It is something to work out in fear and trembling at your own weakness, at your own ignorance. You don't know everything. Okay? You are dependent on God's grace. You do need him to save you. And it is work, and at times it can be tough. And what about that person who says, yeah, I made a decision for God, you know, I made a decision for Jesus, but I'm not into it now. Well, let's ask another question. Are they working out their salvation? It's another way of looking at it, isn't it? Are they working out their salvation now? Is God's pleasure being worked out in their life, in their heart? Can you see it? Are they shining? What about you? Is God working out his salvation in your life? Is God's pleasure being worked out in your heart and in your mind and in your life so that people are attracted to you to find out about the Lord Jesus? Are you shining in the dark as a child of God? If you're shining, you are a child of God. Salvation has been worked out in your life. But if you're still in the dark, and if darkness surrounds you, maybe this is something you need to come and you need to talk to God about. And say to God, God, you know, I've been trying, but I feel like I'm still in the dark. I feel that darkness is still in my life. Lord, can you come and begin working salvation? Begin working life. Begin bringing me into a relationship with you so that I can work with you to be saved. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you call us to yourself. You are sovereign. We know that none of us here is saved by our own efforts or by our own work. We know that, Lord God, and we thank you for that because it gives us such security, chosen in you before the foundation of the world. And yet, Lord, we have the privilege of working with you. You call us to work at our salvation because you are working it out in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that as we work out salvation and as you're working in us and as you work in the hearts and lives of everybody here, they shine. I thank you, Lord, for your children here who shine as stars in the dark, who shine as lights in the world, who are beacons of hope, who bring joy and peace into the lives of others. Lord, I pray that we would all be like this, that we would be as Christ to those around us as we work at our salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for your promises, and thank you for that confidence that we have to pursue you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.